Lord, we thank you for Brother Rogers' word last night as he set the table. Lord, and we thank you for Pastor Scott's word this morning as he laid the foundation, Lord. And so, Lord, right now, I pray, Lord, that I decrease right now and that you speak through me and to your people tonight. And so, Lord, we're thanking you in advance for what you're going to do in the hearts, Lord, that's contemplating to make a decision to follow you, Lord. We thank you right now in Jesus' name for the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Fellas, you know, as I read this passage of scripture and I think about the four core values of FCA, and then I think about what Roger challenged y'all with last night, man, talking about just how you can become a champion in life. And then Brother Hyden gave his testimony, and then the brother right here read my mail today. Where you at? The one tonight? He read my mail. He said, he should have just said, if Johnny come up here. But here's the deal. Y'all heard him. I pray that you heard his testimony tonight, because you don't have to go that route, as he was saying. You don't have to. But unfortunately, here's the deal. Brother Roger talked about last night how blind Bartimaeus, and it's interesting, man, because Roger came here yesterday and he wasn't even supposed to speak. I mean, when he initially came, he knew he was speaking, but we had another speaker that was coming. Roger comes in and he talks about blind Bartimaeus. God had told me weeks ago to talk about blind Bartimaeus. And it's just so amazing how God just confirms things at the right place and at the right time. So as I think about what's going on, man, in this camp, in your life right now, I've challenged people the first night we got here, to the huddle leaders and the coaches, I challenged them to think about why you came. And I'm going to do the same to you. Everybody sit up. My man, sit up right here. I'm only going to be a few minutes, man, and I want your heart. I want you to think about why you're here. What made you get on the bus to come, and what made you come up here on this mountain? And see, and more importantly than that, I want you to think about what's in here. What's your foundation? And so I ask everybody the question in here, in this room, every single person in this room, I want to ask you this. What's in your box? What is the single most motivating factor in your life today that makes you do what you do, say what you say, above anything else? The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above anything else, to guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of your life. Above anything else, guard your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. Fellas, I want y'all to understand something, what that really means. See, because I want to share a little bit about my testimony as I speak to you tonight. Because what's in your box is going to determine what your foundation is. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What you have in here, that thought that you were thinking, is what's going to determine what is in your box. Now, why is that in my box? Well, let me just set the foundation for you. I'm going to just tell you a little story. Who heard the story of Truth and Lie? Y'all was here. Who's heard the story? Two guys named Truth and Lie. Truth and Lie, they were football players. One day they decided to skip football practice. They was going to go skinny dipping. Say skinny dipping. Where's my middle school is at? Y'all know what skinny dipping is, right? That was a joke. They decide to skip practice. They're going to go skinny dipping. But you can't go skinny dipping. Well, it wouldn't, you can, but it wouldn't be fun to go skinny dipping without some girls. So they went and grabbed two girls, and they went skinny dipping at a local pond. So when they got to the pond, they took their clothes off, they put it on the bank, and they went in to go skinny dipping. And they're having a good time. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They're getting their swerve on and getting everything going. And then all of a sudden, Truth, being who he is, said, man, this ain't right. And so Truth was over there, and he was getting his groove on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But what happened? How many of y'all, what happened was while he was getting his swerve on, Lie and the other girls decided to leave. So when Truth come to himself, how many of y'all have done something with your boys to where they've talked you into doing something and you got caught? Let me see your hands. See, that's what happened to Truth. When he came to himself, knew he wasn't supposed to be doing it, he went to leave. So he went back to the bank to get his clothes. And when he got to the bank, his clothes was gone. So here we are. We have Truth on the bank, and his clothes is gone. But he remembered that Lie hung out over his boy's house not too far from the pond. His name was Deception. Everybody say Deception. So here we are. You got Truth walking down the street on his way over to Deception's house. He gets over to Deception's house. Lie opens the door. Man, where are my clothes? Lie, being who he is, says, I don't have your clothes. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. They go back and forth, and they go back and forth. Big commotion. All of a sudden, the cops come. Fellas. And at that moment, the cops have to make a decision. The cops have to decide something. They have to decide if they're going to believe a lie, dressed in Truth's clothing, or if they're going to believe the butt-naked Truth. Some of y'all might get that doing your huddle. But see, they have a decision that they have to make. Just like everybody in this room, every single day, there's decisions that we have to make. So what's in your box, fellas? You look at that big, beautiful box sitting up here. It's a nice, nice box. It's on the outside. It's looking all good on the outside. But what's on the inside? See, fellas, just because it looked good and it feels good, it doesn't mean it's good. Amen? So what is it in your box? What makes you do the things you do and say the things that you say? What is it? See, fellas, for me, it started a long time ago. I was a young boy. I come from a single-parent home. All sisters in the house and my mom. And I can remember asking my mom for a football for Christmas. And sure enough, I got that football. See, I want y'all to stay with me because, see, I was from a poor family. And a football for Christmas to me was like a PlayStation 3 to you. And I got that football. And I want y'all to understand something that happened to me at the age of 8 when I got that football. it went in my box. Now, y'all are here for a sports camp. You're doing your football, you're doing your baseball, you're doing your basketball. But see, when I got that football at 8 years of age, something happened then. I didn't know it then, and I want you to understand that. I didn't know it then, but I know it now. Something happened then that changed me forever. And that football became my identity. Took it everywhere I went. And it went in my box. Something else happened when I was 8 years old, third grade. My boy Tim calls me up and he said, "Johnny, come on over here, man. You got to get over here and you got to go in over here now." Tim calls me up, "You got to get over here." So I go over to Tim's house. We go down in his basement. And Tim's got this big bag, garbage bag, full of something. And he said, "Check it out." And I look in the bag and it was full of books, magazines. Playboy magazine. Fellas, I'm 8. He's 8. But see, in my mind, I opened up the first page, the first book, I mean the cover, and it was like, jackpot! Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Fellas, what I didn't know, that went in my box. Fellas, right now, some of you guys or ladies are dealing with some things that you allowed to go in your box at a young age. And you probably don't realize it, but it's affecting you. See, because what I didn't know was that looking at Playboy magazine, see, because fellas, you believe me, we were there all day long. All day. Didn't take a break, didn't eat lunch, didn't do nothing. We're in his basement all day long. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about with the internet. Amen. But see, no harm, no foul. See, because me coming from a single parent home, fellas, the men in my life, the men that were in my life, they used to tell me, because Tim's uncle came downstairs and he seen us looking at these books, but he didn't tell us that we shouldn't be doing them. The men that was in my life, that was okay. That was a lifestyle. And some of y'all may know what I'm talking about. And so here I was, 8 years old, not realizing that this was going to be affecting me for the rest of my life. So what is it in your box? What's going on in your life that's making you do the things that you do? Deception. Deception. Turn with me. Page 1242, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 14, page 1242. Everybody there? Verse 15, it says this: do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him, because everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of one's lifestyle is not from the Father, but is from the world. Verse 17, and the world with its lust and passing, and the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does God's will remains forever. I want you to pay close attention to verse 16. Verse 16, it says the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of one's lifestyle. Guys, what is going on in your box? For me, when I look at the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, I look at football. I talked about football. Football was a big problem for me. I love football. And some of y'all love y'all sport so much, and we're constantly practicing, and we're constantly doing the things that we're supposed to do to be the best. But we forget about something else. And that's the one who created us. So when I look at the lust of the flesh, I look at athletic ability. Guys, what is the first thing we do when we're young, when we get our football, when we get our baseball, when we get our basketballs? Somewhere along the line, we start to compete. And there's nothing wrong with that, but this is what I want you to hear. We are performance driven. We're thinking that we are supposed to perform. But let me tell you something. I was always told that I was too slow, too small, too short. I was told that I was ugly. I was told that I was black. I was told that I had nappy hair. White guys, y'all probably don't know what that means. Everything that I was told, it was something negative. And I was told that the whole time while I was growing up. And guess what, fellas? Guess what happened? It went in my box. And so here I am. I'm that guy that my man was talking about that didn't have a dad. We didn't have money. I was slow. I was too little. I was always something negative. And on top of that, I was angry. And it went in my box. And some of y'all are dealing with that tonight because of something that somebody told y'all. And they told y'all, and they keep telling you. It could be your parents. It could be some very close relatives that are telling you these things. And so it goes in your box. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and a pride of life. And so as I grew up, fellas, we moved around from city to city. I don't even tell people where I'm from, really. I just say I'm from the Midwest because we moved around so much. And so as the older I got from third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and I'm starting to like girls. And guess what? Every time I looked at a girl, guess what I seen? I seen pornography. That's right. And it's in my box. And if it wasn't for sports at that time, at the age of 12, I gave my life to Christ. I went to a church camp. All my boys were going down front. And so Friday came. I hadn't been out front yet. So I had to go down front. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all are feeling that pressure tonight that you need to go down front. And so on Friday, I did that. I gave my life to Christ at the age of 12. Fellas, and this is what I want to tell you. Just like Roger talked about blind Bartimaeus and how he cried out to Christ. If you come down the front just because your roommate or your teammate is going down front, that's not a good idea. Because I did that at the age of 12. But here's the thing. Here's where deception comes in at. Because I went down to the front, the pressure was off. And because the pressure was off, I'm a Christian. But from age 12 to 21, listen to me. From the age 12 to 21, my house was built on sand. Did y'all hear me? From age 12 to 21, my house was built on sand. Because I was the one who listened to God's word and didn't do what it said. Because I was deceived by Satan. And guess what? He wants to deceive you too. Some of y'all are sitting in this room right now, and you said, man, I didn't gave my life to Christ, but you're hearing God's word, but you're not doing what God's word says. And so, fellas, the older I got, the more involved with sports that I got, the farther away from Christ I got. The pornography, the thicker it got in my life. Now, it may not be pornography for you, but you know what it is. You got it right here. When I ask you to think, what is it that's in your box? You know what it is. And we spend so much time, fellas, trying to fit things in our box that is not supposed to be in there. And what I found out over those years, in between the age of 12 to 21, that I was doing some things, I was faking the funk. Say faking the funk. I don't want to see your hands. I don't want to see your hands, but how many of y'all are faking the funk? How many of y'all are doing the right things? You know all the right things to do and all the right things to say, but you're not authentic. See, that was Johnny. That was Johnny. God is blessing me. I went on and I was able to get a scholarship to the University of Missouri on a football scholarship. God is just blessing me, just like he's doing you. He's blessing y'all with gifts and talents and abilities, and you're faking the funk. You're building your house on sand. And then the Bible says, not me, but the Bible says, and the collapse was great. See, what I didn't know was, fellas, is that I was building myself up for a great collapse. Nobody told me that what I was doing was wrong. I didn't have those people in your life, but fellas, you do. This week, you got people in your life telling you what you're supposed to be building your house on. You got people telling you, but then somewhere along the line, you're chilling over Deception's house. And you know why you're doing that? It's because what's in your box. You may not be doing it on purpose, but I stop by to tell you that if it's not Jesus that's in your box, you got work to do. Amen? So I go on to college. I'm kicking it. Hey. Everything started getting to see. By this time, I done got bigger. Hey, stronger. Hey, faster. Hey. You know, God's just blessing. But at the same time, fellas, I got all this mess in my box. I got anger in my box. The lust of the flesh in my box. Fellas, you don't want. There's one thing you don't want in your life. You don't want God to get your attention. Is there any old people in the house can agree with me over there? You don't want God to get your attention. Because, fellas, while I was so busy being blessed, not realizing that God had a perfect plan for me, He started allowing things to happen in my life in college. There was people on my team that were Christians. There was FCA at my college. But I was too busy thinking about Johnny Shelton. But see, here's the thing, and this is why I told you the story. I wasn't an arrogant type of brother. I was not. I was not that guy who talked all the time, and y'all know what I'm talking about. That wasn't me. I was that fake humble guy. And what I mean by fake humble, I mean I was that guy who was quiet. And as the accolades start to come, they were coming, and I was loving it. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, but I didn't talk no trash. So that way it looked like I was humble. But see, on the inside, the lust of the flesh, my flesh was screaming, dying for attention. See, because what I didn't tell you that when I was younger, you know, everybody talked about me and I was struggling, man. Self-esteem was low. I was toe up from the flow up. And see, and here's what happened. I was craving some things. Fellas, it went in my box. Some of y'all right now are craving some stuff. You're craving for attention. You're craving for your father to be there. You're craving for whatever it is. It's in your box, fellas. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart flows the issues of your life. You may be walking around angry. You may be frustrated, and you don't even know why. It's because what you have in your box. If it's not Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, fellas, you got work to do. For years, I was told that it was okay to have as many women as I possibly can. Long time ago, I was told that it was okay. I seen women It was okay for women to live on welfare. It was okay for women to have babies out of wedlock. What about you, fellas? Some of y'all are weekend alcoholics. It's in your box. Every Friday, Saturday, you drinking cases of brew. Some of y'all are addicted to weed. Because somewhere along the line, you slipped up and you went on with deception, and because it felt good and because it looked good, you went along with it. Fellas, I'm here to tell you, God put you together in your mother's womb. He had a perfect plan for you. But somewhere along the line, you bought the lie. And just like Roger told you last night, Satan wants to kill you. Did y'all hear me? He wants you dead. Fellas, and he's not going to offer you nothing that you don't like. Do you hear me? So here's my challenge for tonight. Are you trying to put some things in your box that don't fit? Are you tired of living a life where you just don't know which way to turn? Fellas, are you doing things over and over and over again, and you just wish that to God that you could stop? That was me. Old Johnny Shelton, flourishing on the football field. My mom would call me, and she said, "Boy, you going to church?" No, she said, "Boy, have you found a church?" I'd be like, "Yeah, Mom." And here's what was going on. I wasn't lying to her. Well, not really, because I did find a church. I just wasn't going. Fellas, y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Mom, I'm over Ray's house. And you're laying up with some female. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, Mom, I'm spending the night over here. Is it okay? Can I spend the night over here? And you're making a road trip. You're in another state drinking. Why do you do that? Fellas, why do we do that over and over and over again? My man was talking about testimonies that your testimony do not have to be like this. And he's right. It don't have to be like this. But here's what I do know. I serve a sovereign God. I serve a God who's in control. I serve a God who's full of grace and mercy. I serve a God that's full of second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh chances. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I serve a God that tells me that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that we're not supposed to be feeling sorry for ourselves if we are in Christ Jesus. But see, fellas, I wasn't in Christ Jesus. I was deceived into thinking that I was. I truly believe if I would have died between the age of 12 and 21, I would have bust hell wide open. Knowing what I know now. But see, first God had to get my attention. It's sort of like the prodigal son. Who knows the story of the prodigal son in the Bible? The prodigal son, he wanted his dad's inheritance. Dad, just give me my cut right now. Give me my cut and let me do what I want to do with it. That's basically what I was doing. Because my gifts and talents that he was giving me, I was deceived into thinking just because I was doing great on the football field that everything else was fine. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just because things are going good and I'm blessed. Yeah, I didn't give my life to Christ. Well, what about you? I remember the Sunday after I gave my life to Christ and went back to my church, and it was time for that altar call. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It was time for that altar call. I was able, for the first time in my life, not have pressure on me, but I turned around to see who else was going to come up front. Fellas, I was living a lie. And God had to get my attention. And so let me tell you this, and then I'm going to close, how he got my attention. I told y'all that football was going great. I'm continuing to lie to my mother. My junior year of college, football season. First week, I played defensive back. The first week, first game, 3 interceptions. Second game, 3 more interceptions. Fellas, after week 2, I had 6 interceptions. For y'all that don't understand that, for y'all basketball players that don't understand, 6 interceptions is a season's worth of work. And fellas, you couldn't tell me nothing. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I was walking around, head so big, couldn't fit in this room. But I was the quiet guy. You couldn't tell. The third week, we had a bye week. My older sister calls me on the telephone. And she tells me, she said, "Johnny, Jeanette has been raped." Jeanette's my middle sister right above me. And not only that, she got raped by one of my closest friends. I'm on the plane. Didn't tell anybody. I'm on the plane, first plane out, on the way back to Chicago. And like Roger said last night, to do some business. But it wasn't the kind of business Roger was talking about. I was going back home to kill him. Do y'all hear me? And by the grace of God, I couldn't find him. So I goes back to school. And when I get back to school, my teammates, my roommate and another guy, the only 2 people that knew what was going on, said, "Man, come on, let's go to this party. You need to get this off your mind." How many times have y'all went to a party and you knew you shouldn't have been going? Raise your hands. That was one of those nights. "Come on, man, let's go to the party." And so I went. I finally gave in and I went, but I knew I shouldn't have been going. And what we didn't know was before we went to the party, It was already a fight that had broke out by some of the football players, the big offensive linemen over there causing trouble. But we didn't know that. We go to the party, and we went to the party. We were there no longer than 15, 20 minutes because the party was whack. Man, this is whack. Let's go. So we take off, and we're on our way to the car, and before I knew it, Johnny Shelton had a 9mm right here to his head. And not only did I have a 9mm to my head, he pulled the trigger. Fellas, when I say grace, I know what it is. The gun didn't fire, of course. It clicked. But see, me, after I got off the ground, fellas, I thought I was dead. After I got off the ground, I peed in my clothes. My boy took me back to my apartment, and fellas, it was that night. See, because I told you, you don't want God to get your attention. Do you hear me? I went to my apartment, and that night, I said, I don't know what's going on, but it's not good. But see, fellas, even then, I'm living in deception's house. My life's been spared twice. The very next week, we fly down to Mississippi for a football game. Johnny's not feeling good. I played the first half, but I was tired. And then all of a sudden, they thought I had a virus, and so they put an IV in me, and let's see if we can play. Fellas, I couldn't play. The following Monday, I start walking to class. I'm tired. Tuesday, I'm tired. The trainers are saying, man, you just got a virus. Take the week off. We're going to put this in your arm, and we're going to get you back on the field. By Thursday, I couldn't even walk 100 yards. I'm scared. I drive myself to the emergency room. And when I get to the emergency room, the doctor tells me that we have to admit you. Fellas, I lost 4 pints of blood. And I lost it through my stools every time I used the bathroom because I thought I had a virus, and it was blood. And it was right there at the hospital. It was this Dr. Fisher. He put his hands on my shoulder, and he said, man, what is going on in your life? You're 21 years old. What's going on in your life to have an ulcer the size of a half a dollar? A bleeding ulcer. And the first thing I told him, just like all of you do when somebody asks you what's going on, I'm good. Dr. Fisher didn't buy that. Dr. Fisher went on to tell me, he said, hey, have you ever heard of Jesus Christ? God got my attention. I don't want him to get your attention. You don't want him to get your attention. So, fellas, when you came up this mountain, there was three kinds of men that came up this mountain. You had that man who loved the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you're walking the walk, and you're making a difference on your campus. And you're doing everything that the word says do. Jesus Christ is in your box. And then you got that second group of men. You got those men that have given their life to Christ. And somewhere around down the road, you got hooked up with deception and lie. And you've been chilling with them. And you done turned your back on them. That was me. And then you got the third man. Who never knew Jesus, don't know nothing about him, don't want to know nothing about him. Those are the three people that came up that mountain when you guys came. Fellas, and God got my attention. But just like blind man Bartimaeus, he got Jesus' attention. Do y'all remember what Brother Roger said last night? As Jesus was walking through, and he cried out. That's what I did when I left that hospital, when Dr. Fisher reminded me and reintroduced me to Jesus Christ. I cried out, just like blind Bartimaeus did. And it also says in the word, it says that he cried out such that Jesus stood still. Fellas, how many of y'all right now, don't raise your hand, has gotten Jesus' attention? Fellas, you want to get his attention. You don't want him to get yours. And I cried out. And at age 21, fellas, listen to this, is when I made Jesus Lord of my life. Do you hear me? He became Lord of my life then. So here's my question to you as I close. What's in your box? What is it that caused you to do what you do, man? Derek, can you come up and play something? Is Derek in the house? Fellas, I'm going to tell you this story, and I'm going to close. When I look at my life, I wouldn't trade anything. Some of y'all may be too young to remember this, but Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis, boxers. In 1999, they had a fight. It was their second fight. Older people, y'all may remember this. It was their second fight. And man, and I can remember that fight very vividly because the fight ended in a draw. But if you was just watching that TV screen without any sound, and if you just looked at the pictures and you seen Evander Holyfield's face, it was like a Rocky movie. I mean, he was beat up, cut up, bashed up, tore up. And it was a draw. I'm not that big of a boxing fan, so I called up one of my friends who's all into that stuff, and I said, man, tell me, how could it be to where this thing was a draw? And he said, Johnny, man, listen, you got to understand one thing. This fight was produced by a man named Don King. And y'all probably don't know this. You got to go home and watch ESPN Classics or something. But Don King was a promoter, man, that some say was lack of integrity. I could just put it that way. And he said, man, Don King was the promoter. I said, yeah. Don King is Evander Holyfield's boy. I said, oh, okay, so you're telling me that it was a fixed fight. He said, that's what I'm talking about. Fellas, here's what I'm here to tell you. You may be beat up, You may have been bashed up, crushed. Your box might be full of anger, lust, envy, pride. See, but we got an answer for that. Your box may be full of money. It may be full of whatever your box is filled with if it's not Jesus Christ. See, we have an answer for that. And my friend went on to tell me this. He said, Johnny, you don't get it yet? He said, it's a King production. Here's what I'm telling you. Your life, it's a King production. Fellas, ladies, it's a fixed fight. I don't think y'all heard me. See, I read the book, and it says we win. My King of Kings, Lord of Lords, it's a King production. And we have to walk as such. We got to build our house on a rock. It can't be built on sand. No more faking the funk. Fellas, what I'm saying is no more business as usual. Roger talked about the champions. You got to be a champion in your own life, but you have to make a decision to stop faking or messing around, going through the motion, being complacent with where you are. And see, we can do that all day long. And just like Pastor Scott said this morning, you can run. But you can't hide. Now, I don't know about you. Knowing the fact that I got Jesus in my box, it makes me know that my house is built on a rock. So what's in your box, fellas?